question was asked, being that complimenting makes people happy, so how do we compliment without lying? Some people are really hard to compliment. So we have to find the real point to compliment them on. Don't lie. But there always is something. A guy calls me up. I never met him before. And he starts calling me a nickname, and he says, I want you to set me up with a girl. And he's so rough and brazen on the phone. I was with a chavrusa. So my wife told him, please call back. And he called back, and I was still with the chavrusa. So my wife told him, please call back again. And he's yelling at my wife, and I could hear him yelling at my wife, like, what are you yelling at my wife? I don't know you. I don't even know who you are. What yelling at my wife? So I come to the phone, and he asks my name, and then he gives me a nickname, and we talk. And I interview him, and I see this guy is a really rough character. Yeah, how'd you know? The guy is really rough. So I took down his details, and I figured, how could I ever set this guy up with these types of midot? Who would I set him up with? And then he kept calling me every few months. Why am I not setting him up? And one time he calls me up, and he breaks down on the phone. And he tells me, I'm a pilot. I'm such a successful person. I succeeded in the army. You know, the courses I went into, 1 out of 10,000 people got to the levels I got to. And he's going on and on about all his success story. And then he says, well, I'm never going to get married. Look at me. I can't understand why no one wants to marry me. What do you say now? So at that moment, I realized I have an opening. I better say something. Help the guy out. I don't remember his name, so I'm going to make it up. I don't remember. Many years have passed. Ariel will come. Ariel. So I said, Ariel. I was going to say Zevi. I don't know. Okay. Ariel, I said to him, look, I noticed in the short time I know you now that you're a person who has all kinds of accomplishments that are unique. And that gives you self-confidence that other people don't have. And I think that it could be that when you express yourself with that self-confidence, that scares people. I can imagine that a girl might connect to all the wonderful traits you do have, but when you come across so powerfully because of the experience you have, because of the successes you have, so then that can really cause a girl not to connect to you. So instead of telling him you're arrogant, you're violent, you're unpleasant to talk to, I took it and I framed it positively. You know what? That's the way a mother would talk to a kid, right? Mother would figure out the nice way to look at it and the nice way to say it. So I sat there racking my brain. How do I talk to this fella? And I said it to him. And a few months later, I get a phone call from the guy. He tells me, I'm in the car right now. I just got engaged and I wanted to call you and thank you because I think you helped me get here. I mean, it was an eye-opener to me because I took a risky step. I'm going to tell this guy in nice words that he has to tone down. He can't speak this way. He can't be so forceful. He can't be so arrogant. How do you tell him that? So I didn't use those words. So again, I didn't lie to him. I took what I saw, I framed it positively, and I worked with that. Now, this is important. I don't know anyone here that has the problem this fella had. But you guys have a different problem, and I'm about to tell you. Don't get offended. You guys have a problem, some of you, that you're willing to share your weaknesses or your faults with other people. So that means you're willing to tell someone what's wrong with you.
Only in yeshiva.
Don't tell me only in yeshiva. I see guys doing this on the work scene. I see guys doing this in dating. People do it with good intentions. They want to be honest. They want to be fair. But they speak badly about themselves. You shouldn't do that either. If you feel that you haven't been a good worker, you haven't lived up to what your employer wanted of you, so you could walk in and say, I've been doing a lousy job. Or you could analyze it and say, it's not that I've been doing a lousy job. It's that I've been investing a lot of energies in places that are less important to the employer. And if I had a better understanding of what he wanted, I would do it differently. It's that I didn't have a clear picture of what's important to him. It's that I thought that if I give him 2 hours overtime at the end of the day, that for sure outweighs the 20 minutes I'm late in the beginning of the day. I didn't realize it's the other way around. Those 20 minutes are worth to him much more than the 2 hours I give him at the end of the day. So again, we a lot of guys here in their striving to be truthful and honest are willing to say bad things about themselves, and you shouldn't. The same tool that we just said about talking to someone else, we have to apply to ourselves. People do this in marriage also. Oh, I'm lousy. oh, I'm disorganized. Don't say you're disorganized. I'm doing a lot of things, and I take so much on my plate that I'm not capable of being organized. I have to think about how to rearrange my time, how to take less responsibility. There are different ways to approach the same problem, and we should not approach our weaknesses with negativity. We should approach them with positivity. And that helps our spouse, our children. It helps everyone see it positively.
Manipulation.
It doesn't have to be covering it up. It can be looking at it from a positive vantage point. It's two sides of the same coin.
Isn't this manipulation tactics 101?
I don't think so. I'm not saying if someone needs to apologize because they did something wrong to someone else, then they should walk in and say, I'm sorry, I was wrong, I shouldn't have done that, and I shouldn't have done that. When it's something I've wronged someone else, then I agree with you. I should walk in and be very honest. I was wrong and I apologize. A person should say those words. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about parents who will, the kids will be late to going to sleep, and they're going to tell the kids, I'm a horrible parent. I can never get you guys to sleep on time. I can never get you guys to listen. I can never get you guys to clean the room. Parents who will speak negatively about themselves to the kids. Spouses who will speak negatively about themselves to the spouse. A person was in a car accident. What do they say? I'm an idiot. No, that's not what you should say. You were distracted. No, you were distracted by someone. You didn't sleep well enough. You weren't focused. You're not an idiot. You're a human being. You made a mistake.
You drink and then you drive. You're an idiot.
That could be.
I made a wrong decision.
Look, but going back to, I told you guys the story.
So you won.
Smart people make wrong decisions too.
Right? I agree with him. For sure smart people make wrong decisions. We all make mistakes. We have to learn from them. And like he said, I don't think we should cover up for them. But we shouldn't turn that into my identity. And wherever possible, we should look at it positively. This isn't only a tool for how we talk to other people. It's a tool for how we talk to ourselves, how we view ourselves, how we present ourselves. I've seen many people destroy relationships because they framed themselves negatively. I've seen people walk into, I saw this year, a very good friend of mine walked into an interview and destroyed it for himself. He could have gotten a raise, he could have gotten a promotion, and instead he destroyed himself. The interviewer said, can you please tell me what you've been doing well and what you've been doing bad for the company? So the interviewer was prepared to promote him. And he walked in there and he wanted to be very honest. He learned in Machon Meir, he wanted to be honest. So he walked in there and he figured, this is what he told me later, he figured he knows how much I'm doing for them. All the wonderful things I'm doing are obvious. They're not, their company is going to crash without me, which it did. He said, it's obvious they can't manage without me, but I have to tell them what my weakness is. So he said, well, I know that my timing isn't always perfect. Sometimes I should be here at certain hours that I'm not. He didn't bother mentioning that he gives them 2-3 hours overtime for free every day. That was obvious to him. I know, and he started listing. He spent 10 minutes explaining why he wasn't doing a good job. He convinced them. They fired him. And he could have gotten a promotion in the same conversation. It's not funny. It's tragic.
And then they collapsed?
Yeah.
Good for them.
It's not. So it's lose-lose. Everyone lost. He lost and they lost. That's what I'm saying. When I'm talking about this tool, that's why I took these few minutes to discuss it, because I think it's a critical tool in how we work, how we work with other people.
Good and bad.
Right.
Only give them bad.
Because I'm the good. He figured it's obvious. Why should I toot my own horn?
Then it sounds bad.
And even the bad can be presented differently. If you say, I'm working for you guys till 2 in the morning, which means sometimes I won't be there at 7, that sounds different than saying, I know you guys want me there at 7, and I'm not there every day at 7. So he was trying to be honest. With all due respect, even the negative can be presented in a positive light. You could walk into, it's not common sense. You could walk into a meeting and say, we don't jive. You could walk into a meeting and tell your boss, I want to better understand what you want so that I can do my job better. Those are two different sentences and they achieve the same goal. If you framed it positively, then you grow, then your job grows. It's win-win. It doesn't have to be that there's something wrong with me or something wrong with what I'm doing. We have to try and avoid negative wording. I had a meeting with a doctor today. urologist, and I had a consultation with him about certain things that are up today. They're in discussion between urologists and mohalim about what's the best for the baby. We know how we do bris milah, but we're always trying to figure out there are nuances, which nuance is better. So I had a meeting today with a urologist about certain details of circumcision to hear his take on what's best for the baby. Which exactly, again, within the bris milah, there are nuances where you choose. As you're doing the bris, should I do it this way or that way? There are nuances. It's not always the same. It's like when you go to the dentist. He has a choice. Is he going to do an amalgamate filling? Is he going to do bonding? Is he going to use which type of Novocaine to put your tooth to sleep? There are choices. It's not one size fits all. So, not only. Sometimes it's preferences. Preferences of the dentist. One dentist feels that there might be metal dissolving into your food so that you're ingesting, even though the ADA says you're not allowed to say that as a dentist, but some dentists still feel that it's not healthy to have amalgamate fillings. For example, I'm saying there's room to discuss what's better. There was a dentist who convinced someone to switch all their fillings, and the ADA revoked his license. They said he wasn't allowed. He told the patient that it might be harmful for them to have that, and so he convinced the patient, maybe in good faith, to switch their feelings, and I think the ADA, that's what I heard from my dentist.
Bad-mouthing everyone that used...
Right. Coming back to here. So in the conversation, I was trying to talk to him and be respectful the whole way. And I kept trying to explain to him one question that we're faced with today. And he kept answering me one way. And finally, I said something which I shouldn't have said. I said to him, that's wrong. That's not how we do bris milah. Meaning he had a misconception about how we do bris milah, this urologist. And I kept trying to explain to him, and he couldn't understand he was getting something wrong. And I kicked myself under the table because I shouldn't have used that word. I shouldn't have said that's wrong. I should have again tried to find a nice way to explain to him he made a mistake. But he's the doctor and I'm the Moel. Why am I telling him he's wrong? He's wrong. And I explained to him and then he understood it. But you should try to avoid saying things that are so negative. You're wrong. That's wrong. That's not right. Find a different way to say it. You know, I've noticed that many people do it this way. There's a gentler way to say it, and it's worth it. Because when we tell someone they're wrong, they feel bad. When we say we're wrong, then people feel bad about us. If it's between me and someone else, if I've hurt someone else, if I've done something wrong, then of course I should stand up and say, I'm wrong, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that.
Did you?
To him? I don't think that's, like, wrong. It's just a nicer way to talk. I don't think... Okay.